Why we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 20, The Famous Five. In this podcast, we're going to look at the other great kilns of the Song Dynasty and at how their products fitted in to everyday life in the Song society. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. In the last program, we looked at the development of porcelain in the Song Dynasty and how they favoured simplicity and utility. In this podcast, we're delving a little deeper to see how these ceramics, which we today regard as priceless works of art, fitted into the daily lives of the Song people, how they used their porcelain for ritual, ceremony, for eating and drinking, and for decoration. We'll do that by surveying the products from the five great kilns of the dynasty. As we learned already, it wasn't enough for the Song people to use a simple cup or bowl. It had to be the right cup or bowl. That was part of the aesthetic appreciation of a task or an action. For instance, when drinking green dust tea, they chose an icy snow-white porcelain bowl. Black glazed tea bowls with rabbit hair or partridge spot patterns were used in tea contests because they set off the colour of the tea. Bowls with the glaze shining black with rabbit hair markings were the favourite of the literati in the Song Dynasty. Their reputation spread far and wide, even reaching Japan, and became the must-have items of both generals and noblemen. What it also shows us is that there was a lot of porcelain to choose from. We know about the Ru kiln already, but there were actually five great kilns in the Song Dynasty. Best to see them as brands, like we might say Wedgwood or Spode. Each kiln might have had several active sites making porcelain. The one thing about the famous five kilns of the Song Dynasty is that they all had something in common, despite creating different styles. The porcelain products they produced were all elegant and simple, reflecting the restraint and tranquility of the Song. We've already learned about the Ru kiln in a previous podcast. Let's find out a little more about the others, namely the Ding, the official kiln, the Ge, and the Jun. Probably worth saying that it's impossible to give a proper appreciation of these wonderful items in a podcast. Painting or poetry might go some way towards describing their beauty, but if you can, seek out some fabulous examples in museums or collections. The Ding kiln in the Song Dynasty mainly produced white porcelains. They had a reputation for being the whitest porcelains in the world. They were simply decorated with embossed, engraved, scratched, or printed patterns, and were highly sought after. Ding kiln porcelains were sent to the imperial court as tributes during the Northern Song Dynasty, and so sometimes became imperially designated. Most Ding kiln dishes and bowls were fired upside down, with glaze on the bottom, but no glaze on the mouth. Most of the white porcelains were for daily use, such as plates, tea bowls, bowl stands and decorative objects. The Ding kiln also produced black or sauce glazed porcelains, which were often called black ding or purple ding, which are cherished and treasured the world over. The official or Guan kiln was set up after the Song Dynasty decamped lock, stock and barrel to their new home in Hangzhou. They had to set up new kilns, but of course, even though they brought the skills and craftsmen with them, they had to make do with the raw materials at the new site. Inevitably, there was a gradual step change in style as they adapted from the old northern traditions to the new realities in the south. The official kiln actually had two fabulous addresses, the Jiaotan Sha official kiln was located in the Trigram field of the Turtle Mountain in Hangzhou. Meanwhile, the Xionei Si kiln was located in the Tiger Cave of Phoenix Mountain in Hangzhou and was also referred to as the official kiln of Tiger Cave. One key characteristic of the official kiln-produced ware was a crackling pattern in the glaze caused by uneven cooling during the firing process. Some experts say it was on purpose, some say it was accidental. Others argue that what started as an accident became fashionable. The products from the official kiln of the Southern Song Dynasty included bronze wine cups, pots, receptacles, as well as numerous bowls, plates, bottles, stoves, washers, treasures of the study room, teawares, and incense sets. The glaze colors vary from a dark bluish gray to light greenish blue, also known as celadon. They are often described as having a purple mouth and iron foot. That's because the purple gold clay used as the base for the porcelain was rich in iron content. That meant the glaze at the edge and convex of the mouth naturally flowed downwards after glazing, creating a purple mouth and a brown base. The much later Ming Dynasty were great antiquarians, and much of what we know about the Song Dynasty is thanks to their habit of collecting old paintings, porcelain, and writings. One Ming Dynasty account describes how there were once two brothers, Zhang Shengyi and Zhang Shengar, who had a kiln in Chuzhou, today's Longchuan County in Zhejiang Province. The porcelains fired by the older brother were known as hundredfold crackle, and so were referred to as the Ger kiln, meaning the kiln of the older brother. One account says the brothers in the cave made porcelain that was almost indistinguishable from those produced by the official kilns, which could only be differentiated by careful consideration. Was this flattery by imitation, or were they creating rip-off official kilnware, affordable copies? Ger kiln porcelains were mainly used for home and room decoration. In general, they had a greyish-blue glaze which would be applied to the body of the porcelain to cover all of its surface when being fired. Like those found on official kilnware, the cracking patterns resulted from the different shrinkage rates of the clay and glaze. It was described as gold and iron wires by connoisseurs of later generations, with the cracks often dyed with tea after the firing process was completed. The last of the five kilns was the Jun kiln. The kiln was located in Yuxian County of Henan Province. The place was renamed as Junzhou in 1184, so the porcelains fired at this place were called Jun kiln porcelains. Jun kiln porcelains are also one of the most famous porcelains of the Song Dynasty. By adding or merging purple-red spots into the glaze, the porcelains from the Jun kiln broke away from the traditional monochromatic celadon look and proved that the artisans of that time were highly skillful in their art. The glazed layer of Jun kiln porcelains is thick, opaque, and colourful, with rose red and great purple-like markings. At the time, they must have been considered pretty daring. In terms of function, the surviving porcelains from the Jun kiln can be divided into furnishing flower vases and various utensils like bowls, plates, bottles, and pillows. So, there we have it, a catalogue of porcelain throughout the Song Dynasty. But to understand how these items were used and treasured by the people of the Song Dynasty, we need to examine contemporary paintings of the time. And for that, we have to once again thank the emperors of the Song Dynasty. Emperor Hui Zong of Song, for example, painted a work called Elegant Party, which shows in detail a vast variety of crockery on a table, the vases for decoration, and the tea sets on a side table, how they were used and how they were placed. It's a priceless insight into how the Song revered and savoured their porcelain. To sum up then, the porcelain objects of the Song dynasty represent the foremost expression of ceramic art, not just in China, but in the whole world. During the Song period, the essential components of the art were perfected: the vessel shapes, potting techniques, glaze, decoration, firing processes, and aesthetic theory were all combined in a high standard of excellence. Usually, the Song people loved their porcelain to be simple and sedate in comparison to what came before and what was to follow. Likewise, the glazes tended to be monochromatic and subtle, an integral part of the form of the vessel, which invites the viewer to both touch and contemplate. Heaven on a plate, you might say. Sadly, as is the way with crockery, so little of this Song artistry is left, but what we have gives us a privileged window into the hearts and minds of the Song people. Special thanks go out to San Lien Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time. This has been a China Plus podcast. If you like the show, please give us a rating and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. If you've got any questions or feedback, please feel free to contact us via email at podcast@cri.com.cn or find us on Twitter, China Plus Pods.